he was going to. I think that when you look at Abraham and his responses and what he done, this is what Abraham felt in his wife. God abhors human sacrifice, and we know that that was not what God intended to happen. So there has to be another explanation. God was not tempting Abraham or enticing him to do evil, but he was testing him for what? If he would obey him, okay? When you look, as far as concerning Abraham's faith, we'll read it and probably come back to it in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 21. 11 and 19, excuse me. Concerning Abraham in verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested. Again, the Hebrew writer uses tested, not that he was not to do it for any other reason, but to offer him to be tested by God. In verse 19, it talks about his faith, concluding that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, who also received him in a figurative sense. So we understand it was for a testing, so we have to make these verses harmonize with, if you will, with that thought. Did God know beforehand what Abraham would do? Huh? How do we know?
He knows all things.
Right? Hebrews 4 and verse 12 tells us what. God knows the thoughts and intents of the heart. Is that past, present, or future?
All of them.
It's all of them. So God knew what Abraham would do. So why did he test him? Are we tested today, Mark?
Yes.
For what purpose? God knows what we're going to do. He knows the thoughts and intents of each one's heart. You're with us this morning. Is your thought somewhere else? Is your thought upon the Bible study? Is your thought upon the worship? Is your thought upon Kentucky got beat yesterday to death by Tennessee? He knows your thoughts. Okay? So nothing escapes that when our worship, when we're here for worship, Donnie may be preaching, or they may be leading the same. Where's our thoughts? And so, those are put there that God tests us. In 1 Corinthians 14, verse 25, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. Our heart thoughts are revealed before God. That God is the discerner of thought and intents of the heart. So God knows every thought and intent of the heart. He knew what the intent of Abraham was during this 3-day journey, as well as whether Abraham feared him or not. And he knew that Abraham feared him. God knew that. So why did he ask Abraham to do what he done? Did Abraham make preparation as if he had to offer Isaac? Sure. That was Abraham's thoughts to it. But it was not God's thoughts. Again, why did this take place? For whose benefit?
For Abraham.
For Abraham, okay? God never intended, because God abhors human sacrifices. But he was to test Abraham much like he tests us today. Anyone have any thoughts on that? Judges 11. Again, of Jephthah. He made mention, made a vow to the Lord, if he would give him the victory over the people of Ammon, that whatever come out of the doors of his house to meet him, when they returned in peace from the people of Ammon, he would surely give. He would say, I will offer as a burnt offering to the Lord. Again, when he talks about whatever come out of the doors of his house, it's kind of limited. It would either be his child, his only child, or maybe servants or someone, but it had nothing to do with probably animals on that. So his daughter came out. She was offered for the Lord's service. A similar statement in 2 Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 11, concerning Hannah, and Samuel. Then she made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if indeed you will look on the afflictions of your maidservant and remember me and not forget your maidservant, then I will give your maidservant a male child. Then I will give your maidservant a male child, and I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall come upon his head. So it's some individual that was put into the Lord's service. And I believe that's the same meaning that he's carrying with it in Judges chapter 11, as we go back to this verse. If you notice this, if you've done any study in your thoughts on it, it's made mention in verse 31, I will offer it up as a burnt offering. Not for a burnt offering, but as a burnt offering. And when you look, the little word or words as means the same or in comparison. I will offer her up as the same as a burnt offering. Into what? The service of the Lord. Again, what was the purpose of burnt offerings?
Sacrifice
for what?
Atonement for sin,
but it was to appease what? God's wrath. A sin had taken place. It was to bring individuals back into a relationship with God. And so they would offer burnt offerings. And it says here that she was offered as a burnt offering. When you drop down to verse 39, I think it's the explanation of that. It's for your study, and I'll get your thoughts. So at the end of 2 months, as she returned to her father, and he carried out his vow, which she had vowed, she knew no man. Why? She was put into the service of the Lord as something that appeased God for what he had done for Jephthah. Any thoughts on that from anyone? Or something different? Because you don't think that's right.
Well, I'm happy to hear that, because I've been real confused with that for years, because I thought, okay, God don't want you to give a burnt offering, sacrifice a child. But you know, here he says he would sacrifice the first thing came out of the thorn, it was his child. So he had to do it. I mean, that's what I thought.
If you get on a long study, the animals that were offered, the blood that was there, the purpose on the blood, of course we have that today in the blood of Christ, that the blood of Christ appeased God's wrath. And so we come in contact with that blood, therefore it's pleasing to God. I mean, you make a lot of, if you will, of comparisons and such to it. But when you look at what all was offered for what purpose, then you understand that's the importance I mentioned of reading the verses before and the verses afterwards. If you take that verse at face value, and that's all you read, and that's all you know, what conclusion would you come to? Or what conclusion would you come to concerning Isaac and Abraham if you read that one verse? That God required a human sacrifice. And that's what these individuals do that make this up, these contradictions in the Bible. They take that one verse and they say, now here's a contradiction. But why was that statement made? And that's what I'm saying in your studies. This is what you're looking at. One is a true statement. You make those others that they say contradict that true statement to harmonize with the true statement. For his daughter was offered as a burnt offering, not for a burnt offering. And the sacrifice was to appease God's wrath. Any thoughts on Judges 11? 2 Samuel 21. Again, another verse that they use. It talks about these individuals here that will be put to death by the Gibeonites. In verse 1 it says, now famine was in the days of David for 3 years, year after year. And David inquired of the Lord, and the Lord answered. And the Lord answered, it is because of what?
Saul and his bloodthirsty house.
Because what Saul done, his family, to whom?
The Gibeonites,
okay? It has nothing to do with the human sacrifice. And so God would not pronounce his blessings during the reign of David until what? That these individuals were put to death. That Saul allowed to happen. To persecute the Gibeonites. So there's some still in Saul's house that had to pay the price for what their father done. And so after that, he appeased God's wrath. And the blessings came forth then to David. You want to have any different thoughts on that? Again, just taking a verse and taking it out of context, it has nothing that God required a human sacrifice. Does that sound like a human sacrifice to you? It was God's justice coming about.
So you have to recall about the giving out. You know, David was a man of war, far more than Saul. The fact is, the Gibeonites had made a peace treaty with Israel years ago, and they had kind of been inducted into their. You know, they would get the wood for the offerings and the water for the offerings, and so they were used as servants. So they'd had a treaty that God said, you have to honor this because you made this treaty with them. And so the name that you've made, and so they were protected by God.
Right.
They were, and so that's why the Saul, that's what was wrong to deal with those men, because David by far was more of a buddy warrior than Saul by far.
Good point. They mentioned you on this, that bloodthirsty Saul, so we understand him and David far more than that, but it was something that God required because of what Saul done as far as the Gibeonites were concerned. Any other thoughts on that one?
Another thing is sacrifices to God were without blemish. A human like that, the dog, was going to be without blemish.
Good point. You look at a lamb or those things that God required of an animal, what was to be the character of that animal? Be innocent, okay? And so he references Christ as a Lamb of God, having reference to his what? Purity or his innocence on man. And so if we know that all men have sinned, so a human sacrifice could not have been without blemish, if the Bible taught that, which it does not. Any other thoughts? It's good thoughts.
Could Leviticus 27 have any bearing on that too? Where the person makes a vow, he can be redeemed.
Leviticus 27, Lord, I've not looked at it. You've got some thoughts on it? Maybe someone else?
It doesn't talk about someone makes a vow, you know, he wants to give that vow. If he goes to the priest, he will evaluate that. Then there's add so much to it.
Okay. I'll do some looking at it. Unless somebody's, maybe for me or Donnie, you got any thoughts on it? All right, number three. God commands, approves of, delights in burnt offerings, sacrifices, holy days. Exodus chapter 29, verse 18. Merle, if you have that.
So from the whole ram on the altar, it is a burnt offering to Yahweh, is a pleasant aroma, an offering made by fire to Yahweh.
You often read these two words, especially in the Old Testament, concerning sacrifices, sweet aroma. What does it have in reference to? It's a sweet aroma to the Lord. It's something that pleases God. So a burnt offering does what? It pleases God for its purpose, okay?
Are our prayers offered as a sweet?
They would be, if they're offered in accordance to God's will. A lot of things that it's a plea. Pleasing to God that we do, especially in following, if you will, His commandments. Read also more on that, verse 36, was it on that too? Yeah.
36.
Yeah.
Every day you shall offer a bull of sin offering for atonement, and you shall cleanse the offering. When you make an atonement for it, you shall anoint it to sanctify it.
All right, someone read Leviticus 1, verse 9.
he shall wash its entrails and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn all on the altar as a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord.
Again, these two words, that this was to be likewise a sweet aroma. In chapter 23 and verse 27. Mark, if you have that.
Also, the 10th day of this 7th month shall be the Day of Atonement. It shall be a holy convocation for you. You shall afflict your souls and offer an offering made by fire to the Lord.
Right, this offering made before, this burnt offering, we see that it was approved of God. It was to please God. It was a pleasing aroma that they were doing as he said. God disapproves of, has no pleasure in them. Psalms chapter 50, verses 13 and 14. Jenny, read that if you will.
I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats. I'll bring to God thanksgiving and pay the vows and to the Most High. And call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me.
All right. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 20. Mary? Jeremiah talks about here that their burnt offerings was not acceptable. The question would be, why were they not acceptable? If God commanded the burnt offerings, then why was these individuals here, their burnt offerings not acceptable? Chapter 7, verse 22.
For I spake not unto your fathers, nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices.
That's in Isaiah chapter 1, verses 11 through 13.
Where are the multitude of your sacrifices to me, says Yahweh? I have had enough of the burnt offerings of rams and fed animals. I don't delight in the blood of bulls or of lambs or of male goats. What else did you say, 2:13?
Yeah.
When you come to appear before me, who has required this at your hand, so to trample my courts, bring no more vain offerings. Bring no more vain offerings, incense is an abomination to me. New moons, Sabbaths, and complications, I can't bear with evil assemblies.
So when you look at these that God approves of, delights in burnt offerings, and that God disapproves, question in your studies. Why do these verses teach that God does not approve after making the statement, if you will, that he does? We're told burnt offerings, again, were for a smooth aroma to the Lord. Some versions, again, may we use the word, they're pleasing to the Lord. It was to renew a relationship because of sin. But that was pleasing to God. Because of sin, God would not accept Israel's sacrifice. He'll not accept our sacrifice, if we do not come this morning in a relationship that we are, should be in. If there's sin in our life and we've not taken care of that, our worship, much like he told those in Isaiah, is going to be worthless. And so the idea that we live each day, 7 days a week, all these years in purity. When we sin, we do that which is pleasing to God. As Merle mentioned, we go to God in prayer. That we restore that relationship. But we're going to look at why God disapproved or had no pleasure in burnt offering. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 22. It's a verse familiar to all of us. Verse 22 and 23. So Samuel said, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? He states here that, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as a sin of witchcraft, stubbornness is iniquity, an idolatry, because you have rejected the word of the Lord. He also has rejected you from being king. What do we learn from this verse? One thing, it talks about obedience is better than what?
Sacrifice.
If you offer a sacrifice without obedience, what benefit is it to you? What benefit would our worship be this morning if we're not in obedience to God's laws when we're away from here? No. We're wasting our time. Stay home and watch TV. It tells us something about our hearts and our thoughts. And I know from time to time we all dwindle in thought away maybe from the worship and so on, or whatever. It's the part of the flesh that we've not got under control yet. The Spirit has not completely controlled the flesh. This was Paul's struggle. Also, so it's likewise to all human beings that we have this struggle daily. And the only way that we're going to overcome the flesh that does not rule our mind is through this Word. And so the daily application that we learn, Romans 15 verse 4 tells us what? That those things written aforetime was written for our learning. That if God did not approve of what took place then, He will not approve of us today. And so He deals with that. That's what it's talking about. That behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. Psalms chapter 50. And I'll give my thoughts on this, and I'm not going to say that I may be correct on this, but the best that I've looked at it, and I'll get your thoughts of what you think the psalmist is talking about here. In verse 13, well, verse 12, if I were hungry, I would not tell you, for the world is mine and all its fullness. Will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. Again, the purpose, if I understand these verses right, and you can, if I'm wrong, you can tell me. The purpose of our sacrifice is to please who? It's to please God, okay? But for whose benefit is it? It's for our benefit. If I read these verses right, when he talks about 13, I will eat the flesh of bulls, drink the blood of goats, offer to God thanksgiving, and pay your vows the Most High. He says, if I were hungry, I would not tell you. To me, what he's saying is, do you think these things you offer are gratification to me? If your mind is not in obedience to my will, what purpose would you offer these things? That don't gratify me. But to obey is better than sacrifice.
I think what he's saying is I don't need the bull.
He don't need that. Yeah, that's what my study. Don, you have anything different on that?
It probably makes a point that the earth is mine and the fullness thereof. What can we possibly give it?
Yeah, right.
That's not already his.
Yeah, and it's almost, I look at it just saying, you know, they were not obeying God's will, but we'll offer this and he'll satisfy him. That does not satisfy God, because God has everything, as Donnie pointed out on that. So offer to God thanksgiving and pay your vows to the Most High. That's what He requires. Obedience by them was what God desired. And it's the same with us today. Jeremiah chapter 6. Verse 20. What purpose come to me with frankincense from Sheba and sweet aroma from afar? Your burnt offerings are not acceptable. Again, the context of this verse is found back in verse 16. I think Mark's preached on this verse before. Stand in the ways and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your soul. But they said, we will not walk in him. So why were their burnt offerings not accepted? They wouldn't live or do it according to God's will. Jeremiah 7, verse 20.
Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, my anger and my wrath will be poured out into this place, upon man and beast,
upon the trees of the field and the fruit of the ground. It will burn and not be quenched.
22, here, I'm sorry.
For in that day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt, I did not speak to your fathers or command them concerning burnt offerings and sacrifices.
That should be a simple one. What's it mean? God said nothing about the law of Moses when he's come out of the land of Egypt. After he come out of the land of Egypt, he gave him what? The law of burnt offerings. So he didn't mention nothing to them while in Egypt. But after they came out. Isaiah 1. Again, 11 and 13. Our time's about up. We'll quit after this. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices to me? I have enough burnt offerings of rams and fat. Again, go back or drop down to verse 16. You'll find out why those sacrifices were not acceptable. He says, wash yourself, make yourself clean, put away the evil you're doing from before my eye. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke the oppressor, defend the fatherless, plead for the widow. So he tells them to do what here? Cease evil. Learn to do good, seek justice, rebuke, defend, and plead. If they do that, then their sacrifices would be what? But they fail to do that. Again, obedience is better than sacrifice. Any thoughts? We'll stop there.